TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
And a story that you heard just a few minutes ago with Sherry Bernardi. Contractors who are members of the lobbying group South Carolina Alliance to Fix Our Roads are the biggest winners in securing these contracts for to fix our roads. I mean, they were the ones that were lobbying for that gas tax increase. So now they're the ones that are actually benefiting from it.
What?
I know, right? It's almost unimaginable that that would happen. But in that story, kind of down at the bottom, I found one of the statements that was made kind of be quite telling here. Listen to this. This is great. All right. Are you ready? South Carolina's highway industry has been starved for the past decade. Therefore, you have companies that have been sold or gone bankrupt and have even moved away to neighboring states like North Carolina and Georgia. So the highway industry hasn't been at a point that it's been in the past. So what this guy Marsh was saying in this story was, we haven't done enough work on our roads here in South Carolina to keep these companies in business. Lord, you know that that's the truth, don't you? You know that's the truth about our roads. So we have done so little to fix our roads here in South Carolina that companies just packed up and left. They said, we're not making any money here. We're not making it. This peach orchard has gone dry. There's no work here. So why should we stay around? So now only the biggest companies out there, the companies that were, I wonder why they were lobbying so hard for this gas tax. I wonder why they were doing that, because they knew who the money was going to. I tell you what, we got some serious messed up situations here in South Carolina, and that's one of them with these roads. So we've done so little with our road. We should have road paving companies on every street corner. They should be like Circle K's, or they really should. You'd be able to just drop into one and say, hey, how you guys doing today? Well, we're busy. Well, I'd love to get to you, but we are swamped. Can't do it. And there's a 2-week waiting list on road repairs right now. But we haven't done it. We haven't done it in the past several decades. Decades. If you have a kid in college, understand this. If you have a child in college, really the last time that we've done any major improvements to our roads here in South Carolina, that child wasn't even born. Wasn't even born. So now we get these big companies that were lobbying. So now you know why they were so interested in doing this. It was because it was going to be lining their pockets. Yeah, there you go. Just seems like it's the same old here in South Carolina. Coming up in just a little bit, we're trying to talk with Ashley Landis. She is the watchdog on this thing. So we'll talk to her a little bit. She's with the South Carolina Policy Council. Also this morning, we're going to be talking with Brian Maloney. He is with a group called Media Equality, and we're going to be talking about, we just told you that story about that talk show host out in Nevada who was fired from her show for making controversial comments. Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. She was fired. O'Reilly got let go over on Fox News. Let's see, who else got the, Charles Payne. What's his name? The other guy on Fox, can't remember his name, Eric Bowling, got released from Fox News. So there is a concerted effort to target conservative commentators in this country. Another way to squelch free speech. So we'll talk to Brian Maloney about that, because there's some new information about the O'Reilly case where his accuser may not be the Girl Scout you think she is.
1250 WTMA.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:20 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, your chance to win $1,000. It's the 4K a day on WTMA. You do not want to miss out on that opportunity. What else we got going on this morning? Let me just take a look at my list here. Yeah, there we go. Oh, we got some more tickets to the Southern Women's Show coming up this weekend. We'll be giving those away, and I'm going to be out there today this afternoon doing a little cooking demonstration. It's going to be interesting to see what they have in store for me on the Food Lion stage there. That's where you can find me. Let's go to the phones and talk with Malcolm this morning. Malcolm, how are you, buddy? Happy first day of fall. Are you there, Malcolm? Hold on just a second, Malcolm. Let's see if we got you all. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good morning. How are you?
Yes, fine. Listen, I haven't heard you mention it yet, but I wanted to give kudos and high praise to the four black police officers in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That got the four people out of the burning car.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I saw that. They were driving by, and they heard somebody yelling in this car, and they stopped, and they pulled this guy out. That was a great work by the police officers. Yeah, kudos to them, big time.
Kudos to them, big time, as opposed to their white counterparts who go around and shooting up people and killing.
Oh, okay. I knew it wasn't going to take you long. It actually took you about 40 seconds.
Well, you heard the police officer tell a white motorist that, you know, she asked him, I put my hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
He said, well, we shoot black people only, so.
Yeah, he was making a joke. He was making a bad joke, and he's no longer with the police department.
How do you know? I mean, how do you know?
I just know.
Oh, you just know?
Yeah.
Well, I can't say that.
This guy's had an exemplary 30-year career on the police officers. Never had a complaint filed against him.
Yeah,
he makes one dumb joke.
Now, what?
I will agree with you on that one. He should have known better.
Yeah, and talking about our great president, mm-hmm. You don't think that this guy is making any kind of threats to the Korean guy when Nikki Haley and Mr. Tillerson, they're trying their best to diplomatically deal with this man?
I think Nikki Haley is giving some pretty strong words to North Korea. Don't you think North Korea should have some strong words thrown their way?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's the problem with it?
My trouble is that Donald Trump, he comes right along and he's talked all this about fire and we're going to destroy him, we're going to do all of that stuff. Do you think that's wise?
Well, I think he is what you just said. He's fighting fire with fire. This guy Kim Jong-un is not doing himself or the world any favors right now.
But Mr. James, those are foolish words that this guy, he's supposed to be a leader of a country.
Wait a minute, Malcolm. Your president and my president at the time, Barack Obama, pretty much had the same words to say about North Korea.
Oh my God, no, you can't.
Absolutely, Malcolm, you can.
My president, Mr. Obama, was eloquent. He said, you know what he was talking about, but he was elegant in his speech. In his words.
He was eloquent when he said it. Oh, okay. Well, that makes it, when he says, North Korea, we could destroy you.
No.
That was eloquent.
Listen. You cannot compare Donald Trump with Barack Obama, and we both know that.
So it's okay for Obama to say something like that, but it's not okay for Trump to say something like that.
Mr. Trump is like a ballroom brawler. Down on Bourbon Street, that's the way he talks.
Well, at least he's not going around the world apologizing for the United States.
Well, maybe he should apologize.
For what?
Because we know we do some things that are pretty bad also.
Mm-hmm.
And the world knows it. And the lady...
I would say you're right. We have done some things that are bad, like when Obama tried to interfere in the elections in Israel, like Obama when he tried to... interfere in the elections in the Brexit
about
election.
Nuclear weapons, Mr. Mm-hmm. James. We're talking about destroying us and Korea.
Which is exactly what Obama said when he said to North Korea, we could destroy you, quote unquote.
Ms. Theresa May over in England says, Donald Trump, shut your mouth. Your words are not appreciated. But we'll end on a good note.
Okay.
And have a great day.
One more thing. Yes.
The resistance is screaming.
Okay. Well, there you go. The resistance. The resistance is strong. The resistance is strong in that one. That was my best Yoda at 8:25. I keep wondering what the resistance is. Is it resistance to jobs? Resistance to a robust economy? A resistance to a record-breaking stock market? A resistance? What exactly is the resistance there? What is it that you don't? Oh, he's just Donald Trump. Yeah, that's it. It's just a resistance to Donald Trump. In fact, Tucker, and I was kind of interested last night because Tucker made a big deal out of the fact that he found this video. We had it for you several months ago where Donald Trump was being praised by Jesse Jackson for all of his work within the black community. And I don't know what changed. I do know what changed. Hillary Clinton did not win, so they're all butthurt now. But it's okay for Obama to say things like, we could destroy you to North Korea. It's okay for Bill Clinton to say essentially the same thing. It's okay for Bill Clinton to go ahead and give them this path to the nuclear weapon. Now, understand, Malcolm and others, if this nuclear deal that was implemented by President William Jefferson Clinton, if that deal had not gone through, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now with North Korea. The president wouldn't have to speak like that to North Korea. He wouldn't have to be dealing with what's going on in Iran right now with this ridiculous Iran nuclear deal that was implemented by the Obama administration. That and $1.7 billion flown over there in the, it was like $150 billion flown over there in the middle of the night in crates and small unmarked bills. Man, this sounds like something out of a James Bond movie. So, but that's fine. That's fine. You can do it if you're a Democrat. You can do it. So now Iran is saying, you know what? Iran's backing out of the deal now. Did you guys hear about this? Iran backing out of the nuclear agreement that we had with them. They're saying, you know what? We're not going to abide by that anymore. We're not going to allow it for any inspections. You guys aren't going to come in here and check on us. Now, already the deal was bad because we were to give them 30 days notice before inspectors could go in and check their nuclear facilities. Well, you could do a lot in 30 days. You could move a lot of things around in 30 days. But that was the deal. That was the agreement. And I don't even know when the last inspection of North Korea was in their nuclear arms program. So, well, apparently they got one, and now Kim Jong-un is threatening to explode a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific. Over the Pacific. Now, that means Japan out there in the you know, so I'm Hawaii, guess what? Ta-da! Hawaii's in the Pacific. Guam, all of those U.S. interests there. So, if he does that, I just have a feeling all hell is going to break loose. But the world is supposed to end tomorrow, according to philosophy. Of course, Trump called Kim Jong-un, leader of North Korea, called him a madman, to which the leader of North Korea called him deplorable. He's a deplorable human being. Wonder where he got that term, Mrs. Clinton.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Coming up at 9:35, we're going to be talking with Brian Maloney from Media Equalizer about the attack on conservative commentators here in this country. We'll talk with him about that. Also at 9:10, don't forget, special guest, Dr. Gerard Lamero, one of the favorite guests on this program. He's going to be in the studio live, and we'll be talking with him about what's going on with the Trump administration. And his book, Great News for America. You don't want to miss out on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Right now, I've got two tickets to the Southern Women's Show that's coming up this weekend. It's starting today at the Charleston Area Convention Center. I'll take caller 7 right now, 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Caller number 7. Going to win a pair of tickets to the Southern Women's Show. You need to be able to come by and pick these tickets up today before about 4 o'clock in order to take advantage of this. So caller number 7 is going to get that. Also at 9 o'clock this morning, do not forget the 4K a day on WTMA. That continues. 9 o'clock will tell you what word to text and where to text it to for your shot at $1,000. So let's go to the phones right now and say, good morning. Who's this?
This is Lillian.
Lillian, how are you on this Friday morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Congratulations. You just picked yourself up a pair of tickets to the Southern Women's Show.
Yes.
Yes. You excited about that?
Yeah. I've been trying to win all week.
Well, I'm glad today was your day. Good job. It's going on at the Charleston Area Convention Center. I'm going to be doing a little cooking demonstration this afternoon. I'll be there from 4 until 6, around 4:30 to 6. I'll be at the Food Lion stage. So congratulations, Lillian. You enjoy that. Going to put you on hold. And John Quincy is going to get some information from you on that one. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250 as the old show continues. Of course, we got a big football weekend coming up. Clemson playing. They're going to be without their starting kicker. That's going to be a little... I know you guys are going to be out there kind of worried about that. But in some more big news this morning, the Dorchester County Coroner's Office has released the manner of death of Robert Lee Clark Jr., 30 years old, of Goose Creek, and they say it was ruled a homicide. You've all seen that video of that police car bumping his motorcycle. They say that directly led to his death, and that puts it under the homicide banner. So the standard for determining homicide as a manner of death includes the action of one person directly causing the death of another. A death that occurs as a result of a felony is also considered a homicide. A violent death may stem from some kind of deliberate or purposeful action, but intent to cause death need not be present or proven for the classification of homicide. That, according to Coroner Paul Brothers, he said in a statement. South Carolina Highway Patrol set with Berkeley County Sheriff Dwayne Lewis to review the multidisciplinary accident investigation, they say. So the deputy involved in the incident, Deputy Van Zandt, remains on administrative leave pending the outcome of an internal investigation. And I don't know where this is going to go now that it has been ruled a homicide, but certainly not actions that I think were becoming of a police officer where you do something like that to somebody that is... on a motorcycle. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. We'd love for you to join us today. Man, we still got a lot going on. We still got to talk a little bit more about what's going on with North Korea. And this guy, Kim Jong-un, planning on, say he's going to detonate a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific Ocean. That will not sit well with him. So... And people are still just losing their mind over the president's speech the other night at the United Nations the other day. So there you go. All right. Stephen Colbert, of course, weighing in on the president threatening North Korea.
We will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
And yes, destroying North Korea would also destroy South Korea. Which is why I'm encouraging everyone in South Korea to evacuate to East or West Korea immediately.
Trump doubled down on his new nickname for Kim Jong-un.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
Rocket Man? Mr. President, please don't give our enemies nicknames that make them sound cooler.
I will destroy Commander Jetpack and Admiral Ice Cream Sex Machine.
All right, so that was Colbert. I mean, completely forgetting that Obama told North Korea that he would destroy them. And that's okay. Tim is out in Somerville, wants to talk about Malcolm. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hi, Charlie. How's it going?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Well, you know, I just I find myself in agreement with Malcolm for a change. I can't believe it, but I want to tell you a couple things I jotted down since he was on the radio.
Yeah.
In reference to President Trump not being like President Obama, well, I'm absolutely in agreement with that because President Trump, he hasn't bowed to any other world leaders as far
right.
as I know so far.
Yeah, he hasn't taken a knee, hasn't bowed to anybody, hasn't kowtowed to any foreign leader.
Well, here's a couple of other things. The other thing he's done, as opposed to President Obama, he's uncuffed our military.
Mm-hmm.
He now has the respect and the fear of our enemies. The other thing is he's kickstarted our economy where it lagged all that time under Obama.
Right.
He also has the back of law enforcement and, so far as I know, has not called them stupid.
And yeah, that's
also,
right.
He also has the back of the Israelis as opposed to President Obama stabbing them in the back. So that's just a small list of what I guess, makes him different from President Obama. Thank God.
Yeah, I am all in favor of of him being not like President Obama. You're exactly right, Tim. I appreciate you calling in. No insult there to say that President Trump is not like President Obama. There was, I think it was the ambassador to Venezuela. He was over, there at the speech the other day at the UN, and he said, well, I didn't know who I was listening to. I don't know why I'm giving him a southern accent. I didn't know who I was listening to. I didn't know if I was listening to President Reagan or Donald Trump. And he thought that was an insult? He thought that was an insult? No. That's the farthest thing you could imagine from an insult.
1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, right at 9 o'clock, the 4K a day on WTMA will tell you the word and the number to text it to. You can win yourself $1,000, the 4K a day on WTMA. Lots of money up for grabs this morning. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Like I was telling you, coming up around 9:35, we'll talk with Brian Maloney about this. The concerted effort to delegitimize or even remove conservative commentators in this country. I mean, there was a big attack on Hannity, and I love the way Sean handled that. He was just like, all right, well, bring it on. Come on, let's do it. Bill O'Reilly, he got booted from Fox News. We all remember that. Well, his accuser might not be the Girl Scout that they want you to think she is. We'll tell you about her in just a second. And also, you know, Charles Payne, Eric Bolling, that talk show host up in out there in Las Vegas. So it is a concerted effort, and conservatives need to be worried right now. There is a target on their back. Today is the first day of fall. Congratulations. That means we've got Halloween coming up. And, of course, you know what I don't like about Halloween? I really cannot stand it. I don't know why this is the one day of the year. You know, all these feminists out there, I don't know why the feminist movement doesn't get more upset about this. All the sexy Halloween costumes that you see, sexy nurse, sexy pirate, sexy, I don't know, talk show host, whatever. Why aren't there any sexy talk show host costumes? I don't understand that. It's weird. But it was just an excuse for one night of the year to women to go out and dress like hookers. So there you go. But some of the more popular Halloween costumes this year, there's a list of them. Number 10, mermaids are going to be big this year. Number 9, unicorns. Hippies will come in at number 8. That's pretty easy. I wonder if anybody's going to be dressing up as Antifa. Any Antifa costumes out there? Maybe. Number 7, Baywatch babes. Number 6 is going to be Game of Thrones characters. Coming in at number 5, Wonder Woman. Giraffes are at number 4, although we don't really know why. I think it might be because of April the giraffe. Remember, we waited forever for her to have that baby. Bella, or Belle, from Beauty and the Beast. Stranger Things characters from the Netflix show, Stranger Things. And they say the number 1 costume this year is going to be Pennywise from It. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. You dress up like Pennywise and come to my door, you might get a sock in the nose. That big red nose you got might be an actual nose there. That's too scary for me. Also, there's an interesting story. A woman in London recently got a package of gift boxes from Amazon. Couldn't figure out why until she realized something. Her parrot ordered them. Her parrot imitated her saying Alexa, which is the Amazon Echo. It heard it and somehow turned it into an order for gift boxes. Yep, she had no idea why they showed up, but she investigated, finally figured it out that she's got Amazon Echo, and her parrot mimicked her saying Alexa, giving the command. Whatever she said wound up making Alexa think she was trying to order a pack of gift boxes. Now, Amazon does say that anything you order from Alexa has free returns, so she's not stuck with them, although she might want to keep them because Christmas is coming up, and a lot of people are talking about, you know, gifts and all of that. Some people like to give, like, memberships to different things, like gym memberships, And here's some lies that your gym tells you. Number four, bigger is better. They want these big chains want to make you think that just because they're big or they're a national brand, they're better. When that's not true, usually the smaller gyms give you a little more personal service. Low monthly fee. This may be true with gyms who give you a low monthly fee on a long-term commitment, like a year or more. But month-to-month rates are usually higher. There is no commitment. Really? Most gym memberships are indeed legal contracts, and even if you can get rid of them, it might cost you. So when you're signing up, look for the contract's cancellation policies and get a copy for your records. And also they say this. This is a big one that gyms and me have a serious issue with. Cancel anytime. Yeah, you can cancel anytime. Now, they make it easy to sign up for the membership, but it can be a lot more difficult to cancel it. Sometimes it requires jumping through hoops, like sending a written request by mail instead of just doing it online or making a phone call. I remember there was a gym in Columbia. I was moving. I was coming here, and I had a gym membership, and I wanted to cancel this gym membership. So I called them up, and I said, "Hey, this is Charlie. I want to cancel my membership." Okay, well, you gotta come down and fill out some forms. And I was like, why do I have to fill? But you said I could cancel at any time. Well, yeah, you gotta come out and cancel some forms. And I was like, all right, remind me where you are if you want. Tell me, because I never went. It's about 4 minutes until 9 o'clock. 3.5 minutes until 9 o'clock. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. We are still in hurricane season. It looks like Maria is going to skirt us to the east. Now, that is good news after all the incredible damage that we're seeing happened down in Puerto Rico. I mean, that island was just completely decimated by this storm. They say there's only maybe one town right now. Now, yesterday was none. They said no power whatsoever. If you didn't have a generator and you were in Puerto Rico, you had no power. The only people that had power had generators. Now, I think they may have gotten power returned to one town there. There's very little cell phone coverage and almost no landline coverage there on Puerto Rico. Well, now it looks like actually Jose is going to keep Maria off to our coast, off to our east there, and it shouldn't affect us too much, but we'll still keep an eye on it. We want to make sure you're ready in any case. You can download the WTMA Hurricane Preparedness Guide from WTMA.com. It's free, and it's full of life-saving information. Brought to you in part by Property Casualty Insurers Association of America, Jeff Cook Real Estate, and East Bay Deli. So get your hurricane guide right now at WTMA.com. Coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, not only do we have the 4K a day on WTMA, but just after the news there at 9 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Dr. Gerard Lamero. He's going to be our in-studio guest today. Usually we have him on the phone, but he's going to be in studio this morning talking about his new book, Great News for America. Always one of our favorite guests that we have on the program this morning. So also going to talk a little bit more about these contractors that really, really benefited from that gas tax and why these big contractors are the ones that are really raking in the cash on this thing and what happened to all the smaller contractors. I would love to see the bidding process on this. Did we have any of the smaller contractors? Well, they say, no, we didn't, because they're gone. They just packed up and left the state.
Right now we have 71 degrees in the low country. 1250 WTMA and WTMA.com. Depend on it.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Six minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. You still got a few minutes left to text the word LOOT to 62582. That's LOOT, L-O-O-T, to 62582. L-O-O-T to 62582 for your shot at $1,000. It's the 4K a day on WTMA. Don't forget also this afternoon, the Southern Women's Show is going on. I'm going to be out there at the Food Lion stage And I'll be doing some little cooking demonstration. So that'll be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. We are being joined right now in studio. You've heard him on the phone a lot of times. I mean, he's one of our favorite guests that we have on the program, the author of the book, Great News for America, Dr. Gerard Lamero. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Hi, it's great to be here.
I am so glad that you joined us. You're in Charleston. What do you, you know, you've been to Charleston before, though. You love this town.
I have been to South Carolina,
yeah.
And I've been around, but believe it or not, my only experience has been by photographs, and I always love it.
Oh, well, now you get a chance to see it firsthand. Well, I tell you what, your book, Great News for America, when did you actually write this book?
2015.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a big election coming. I saw what I consider to be a historic election.
Right.
Historic presidential elections only occur every 32 to 36 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this one looked like it had all the dynamics building, and that's what happened.
Right.
It was a historic election.
What do you think the last historic election was? Was it Obama?
No.
Or was it Bill Clinton or
no.
George W. Bush?
It was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. There you go.
Ronald Reagan made a difference, and he was at the forefront of a new age,
mm-hmm.
and it got started, but as with many of them, it takes another historic election before it's fulfilled.
Right, yeah, that's true. Now, why is the left, do you think, having so much trouble accepting the outcome of this election? I mean, here we are, we're in September, we're coming on a year since the election, and certainly 9 months away from the inauguration, almost to the day. Why are they having so much trouble?
They're dying.
Yeah.
Their whole ideology is dying. It's on its deathbed. And it's always traumatic to mm-hmm. accept death. And
yeah.
this is a political death. The Democratic Party and the left is really in a near-death stage now. And they're dying. I mean, they have lost probably in the neighborhood of 1,000 to 1,500 elections
right.
in the last 8 years. That's enormous. They have not been this bad off since the 1920s, believe it or not. And they don't like the idea that their progressive ideas, their vision of socialism in America,
mm-hmm.
which is really what it is, progressivism, the word progress doesn't mean progress to something good.
Right.
It means progress to socialism. That's what it really is all about. And that vision of theirs is dying. It's being rejected. Election after election, with the exception of a few big cities,
mm-hmm.
New York City, that's very liberal
right.
and leftist, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago. Outside of those little bastions of blue, this is a red nation.
It really is. All you got to do is go look at the election results. Even Time Magazine, their latest cover, has a giant GOP elephant, and there on the trunk is a little tiny Democrat donkey. And it's a really tiny thing. And they're talking about the imploding of the Democrat Party. They don't even really have a leader right now, do they? Who's the leader of the Democrat Party?
Well, they're sort of the brigade of dinosaurs,
mm-hmm.
Pelosi and others. Have you heard of the term swallowing the red pill?
Yes. We talk about that a lot here on the show. Yeah, the
really?
Red pill,
well,
yeah.
Okay, well, you're up to date. Not, most stations aren't.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, for the listeners who haven't heard the term, you know, it's the idea of leftists, people who are off the deep end,
yeah.
swallowing the red pill and saying, hey, I don't want totalitarian socialism, and that's where the Democrats are headed. That's where that progressive radicals, the Antifas and all the others, that's
mm-hmm.
where they're headed. So they swallow the red pill, which means they turn conservative.
Yeah, I mean, and that kind of came from The Matrix, where you take the blue pill.
Right, it was
you take the blue pill, and what you know is what you know, and everything is honky-dory in your little life, and you go on doing what you're doing.
Right.
You take the red pill, and the truth becomes revealed to you step by step to step by step, and you follow it down the rabbit hole to its natural conclusion. And I think you're right. I think that's what a lot of Democrats are seeing right now when they take the red pill.
Well, you know, in my first book, which was years ago, called America's Economic War, one of the things I talked about with regard to socialism, because I saw that war coming at
mm-hmm.
us, the socialist front, if you will, and battles and that, was the fact that their greatest assault is on truth. If you look around, I mean, it's incredible. Antifa, what is that?
Right.
Anti-fascist? No, they are fascists.
They are the de facto fascist
party. And so what
do
they call themselves? The anti-fascists.
Yeah.
And it, all up and down, left to right, all across the country, you see it. Their greatest immorality of socialism is their assault on the truth.
Now, wasn't that, I can't remember if it was Goering, the propaganda minister
right.
for the Nazi party, Goering, that said, whatever your enemy is doing, whatever you are doing, accuse your enemy of doing.
And boy, doesn't that fit them perfectly?
It really does fit them perfectly.
You know, for example, Russian collusion.
Yeah.
Who was colluding? I mean, who got a whole lot of money for the Clinton Foundation for selling our uranium assets
yeah.
to the Russians?
Mm-hmm.
Where was the real collusion that was going on?
And we've already found out that the Clinton Foundation was colluding with the Ukraine.
Well, that's another example.
I mean, it's just so many incredible examples. I had by the way, we're talking with Dr. Gerard Lomero, the author of the book, Great News for America. Had a listener text me on Facebook the other day, and he said, I have a friend that every time we start talking about politics, I bring up the hypocrisy of the left, and they don't want to hear it. How do I respond to them? And I said, listen, that's the only tool that they have. If you get rid of hypocrisy, then every bit of their argument falls apart, doesn't it? Because they are right now the party of hypocrisy.
Absolutely. They cannot face the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It really is kind of interesting. There's a lot of ways you can go at this, but one way you can go at it is the only way to explain them is to say it's a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because people believe religion, their religious beliefs, without proof. I mean, you believe in God, but do you have proof there's a God? And our religious beliefs are based on faith.
Right.
And in essence, their political ideology is based on the faith that it's right. Because all the proof, all the evidence, all the data, all the studies, it's terrible. Socialism and all of its offshoots is terrible. Look at Venezuela.
Oh, my word.
Look at North Korea. All
yeah.
these countries that people die and people starve to death and there's no freedom and they can't talk. And if you say something, you're killed. Look at what they're trying to do, with Milo, you
mm-hmm.
know, visiting Berkeley.
Yeah.
I mean, he has an opinion, and so he's supposed to be shut down. You're supposed to burn buildings. You're supposed to, you know, assault people, bring clubs, hit people.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Bicycle locks, things like that.
Yeah.
And again, that's taking the red pill. And I've often said, if I could prove to you what you believe isn't true, would you still believe it? And a lot of folks on the left, they continue to believe whatever their party tells them to believe without, like you say, taking the red pill and finding out the truth. So let's talk about, you know, even more now we're hearing more about collusion with Russia. They will not let that drop, even though there's been no evidence of any collusion right now. Who is the biggest threat right now? Is it Russia or is it China or is it North Korea?
Well, that's a good one, because North Korea is probably our greatest threat because
mm-hmm.
we could slip into a nuclear war. If Kim Jong-un decides to send another missile over Japan on its way toward Guam
yeah.
with a possible, 100 kiloton bomb on it, that is just terrible, because suppose it lands on Japan by mistake. Suppose
yeah.
the missile doesn't make it and those poor people have a nuclear missile hit them.
Yeah,
you know? and by the way, we know there's evidence that they're targeting our naval base in San Diego area,
right.
which is a big, you know, U.S. naval facility, and they can hit virtually every place in the United States now. I mean, what do we do? Do we wait until a missile hits Seattle before we take?
Right, before we take some kind of an action. But then I think if we were to retaliate, the left is going to try to blame this on
sure.
President Trump, period.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be his fault. It's his rhetoric. It's his talk. And we were talking about hypocrisy, even though not even a year ago, Obama basically told North Korea, we will destroy you. We can destroy you. Saying basically, in effect, the same words that President Trump used. So I tell you what, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. We're going to take a break.
Now, Here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 22 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Being joined in studio this morning by Dr. Gerard Lamero, the author of Great News for America. All right, Doc, give us some great news. Give us some great. We've been talking doom and gloom and nuclear war and Russians. Give us some great news for America.
Well, besides my computer modeling, which is my baseline field,
right?
I've spent a lot of research time on looking back at presidential elections, mm-hmm. 240 years. And what I noticed was, which I mentioned, great news for America, was the fact that there are these American constitutional eras. That's ERA, not right. ERROR, although yeah. some of them might have been an
yeah.
error.
Yeah, right.
But those errors occur every so often. And one of them, and that's when you get a historic election normally, mm-hmm. 2016 was just such a American constitutional era. A new one has started. And it is what I have named conservative era.
Mm-hmm.
It is a conservative era. People want to go back to things like morality. They want to know they have freedom. There are a lot of millennials who are saying, hey, you know, there's some good stuff we like about socialism, but you know what? We're losing freedom to get it.
Yeah.
And that's why people are swallowing the red pills. Some of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good trend. For example, one of my predictions that is turning out, the beginning of it, to happen, is that we're going to have a supermajority of conservatives on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Now, we have right now two folks who are just about to retire. We're pretty sure that Ginsburg is going to retire and also Justice Kennedy. And Justice Thomas has indicated he doesn't want to die in office. He wants to have a retirement
right.
where he's not working. So he could also retire. All of those are going to be replaced with conservatives. And by the way, if you're worried about the Senate being more conservative, because it's not as conservative as some folks would like,
right.
that's going to happen in 2018. I predict right now there are going to be 60 Republicans or more who are going to be holding seats in the 2019 Senate. The reason for that is the Democrats have to essentially defend 25 seats. 24 Democrats are running out of about 33, 34 next year. They have to defend 24. That's going
to
be awfully tough, especially in red states.
That's a lot of money that,
right.
that what we're hearing that the DNC just doesn't have right now.
They're not getting money. Of course not. They keep losing. Why mm-hmm. do people want to donate to losers?
Right.
Because let's face it, a lot of people donate because they want access. And that's the reality. You donate because you want to go to the parties where the people show up,
sure.
the congressmen, because then, you know, you can give them a little nudge and say, gee, I wish you'd really, you know, do with something. But that's reality. You need some people to do that. But the point is, we're going to have a Republican Senate. It is going to be much more conservative. If it's not conservative enough, then we get into my next book
okay.
and the predictions that come next, if it doesn't turn that way.
Yeah.
By the way, in January, you've got to keep your eye out for more great news for America.
More great news for America.
Which is my book about the 2018 elections mm-hmm. and the 2019 politics that will ensue. And that's exciting.
As rancous and raucous as the elections were in 2016, how do you see them wrapping up in 2018? I mean, we just saw that historic congressional race in Georgia. I think $30 million was spent
right.
on this, where the yeah. Democrats lost in Georgia. Are you seeing a record-setting year in 2018 as far as money being spent?
I think it's going to be record in terms of events. Mm. It's going to be record-setting in that event. It's not necessarily in terms of total number of people voting, although you're going to have a lot of dynamics that are shifting, and that's something that I look at. See, when I do modeling, I look not at just polls, but I look at underlying variables, like what is the voter intensity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons the polls were wrong in 2016, and I knew they were wrong, and I kept saying it on air
yeah.
all year long. I did 469 shows, TV and radio, last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying to people that Trump was going to win. And they what? What are you smoking?
There's no
you know,
way.
What are you drinking?
Hillary, look at Hillary. She's 20 points ahead.
Well, but I looked at the polls and the underlying models. Their models were wrong. Okay, why do I say that? Well, they didn't get the variables. You know, they were basically running a 2012 election as the foundation for their polls, mm-hmm. because you don't do 63 million interviews on the phone. You call 1,000 people, and then you extrapolate onto your model what those people really mean. And so there's a lot of art to that. And the reason they're wrong is their art was wrong.
There you go.
And they were saying, oh, well, you know, a certain percentage of black folks, for example, are going to vote for Hillary. Well, no, they didn't.
Right.
And a certain number of Hispanic people are going to go this way, and a certain number of women are going to go that way. Mm-hmm. But that model was broken. And I saw it because of the historical nature of my long-term trends, because I look at long-term trends plus short-term variables in my model. So voter intensity. Somebody said they're voting for Hillary Clinton in August. Mm-hmm. What's the probability they'll actually go out and vote for her? Her voter intensity was like down in the basement. Donald Trump's voter intensity was really sky high. If they said they're voting for Trump,
they were voting for Trump. Of course, Hillary out on the book tour right now, blaming everybody but herself.
The Blame the World Tour.
You're exactly right. Any backlash on this? We were just talking yesterday with the chairman of the Charleston Democrat Party, Brady Cord Garvin. And my question was, you know, you get Maxine Waters out there saying, you know, impeach 45 with her vitriol that she's spewing. You get Hillary out there. She's on that, Blame the World tour, like you said. Backlash in 2018, do you think?
She's a non-entity politically.
Yeah.
She's lost her power. I think the foundation, Clinton Foundation donations have all but dried up, my understanding. Mm-hmm. So I think her influence is negligible. She's almost laughable.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you can pity her at this point.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Facebook said, you know, I really want to feel bad for this woman, but I can't. Mean,
it's sad for her to keep coming out blaming everybody but herself. I mean, I have studied presidential elections. That's sort of my, you know,
That's what you do.
I don't spend as much time predicting congressional elections because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But I can put a lot of time in presidential.
Right.
She lost that election. That was a terrible campaign.
Absolutely. Doc, we're running out of time, but I appreciate you being on the program this morning. Thank you so much for visiting with us. Welcome to Charleston. I hope you enjoy your time here.
Is a wonderful place. The people are wonderful. You're wonderful. The station is. And even your producer's great.
And
I like your producer.
Johnny is fantastic. He is great. It's the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
Michael Savage Afternoons. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
9:36, 24 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. I was just telling you a few minutes ago about that radio host out there in Las Vegas who got taken off the air, snatched off the air by CBS Radio because she had the audacity to voice her opinion about same-sex marriage. How dare you do that? That's unbelievable that somebody, that a talk show host would actually give their opinion on something. Amazing. So, that was the reason she was hired in the beginning. But we've also seen the same thing with Sean Hannity. They've gone after him. They've gone after Bill O'Reilly. They got him removed from Fox News. Eric Bolling. And the list, I think, is going to start growing over and over again, more and more over the next weeks and months. With us this morning from MediaEqualizer.com, we have got Brian Maloney on with us. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Brian, I appreciate it. What do you think about all of these attacks on conservative commentators out there? Is this a growing trend? Are we going to see more and more of it because they were able to get O'Reilly off the air?
Well, it really is, and it's well-funded, it's well-organized, and this is why we've created, along with Melanie Morgan and myself, created a group to fight back. It's on Facebook, and it's called Stop the Scalpings, mm-hmm. and I hope any of your listeners that didn't join when we talked previously will do so now that we'll Stop the Scalpings. But I'm really glad that you mentioned the situation in Las Vegas, because that just shows, we call the group Stop the Scalpings because the left likes to collect scalps of their opponents. So anybody not on the far left, they want to scalp them. And what happened over this week was a woman who's been on the air in Las Vegas for a long, long time. Her name is Heidi Harris. The excellent conservative talk show host out there. Just essentially giving a pretty mundane opinion on her Facebook fan page, saying that she thinks that in terms of same-sex adoptions, that she doesn't think it's right that a baby should be adopted by two men. She thinks there should be a mother involved. And that set off the left-wing groups. They went into a tizzy, and they got her fired by Monday morning. I mean, she posted that thing over the weekend. Monday morning, she was done. They put pressure on the station over the weekend, and they got her off the air. So it is this gotcha game where they are eliminating conservative voices one after another all across the country.
So tell us a little bit. I mean, we are getting more information about Bill O'Reilly's accuser. Apparently, she was arrested not long ago. When was it? 2015. Detroit police arrested her for making false statements about a crime.
Well, that's right. And this is why the group that I co-founded, and we're called the Media Equality Project and Stop the Scalpings, is our group on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We have actually called in a press release for Bill O'Reilly to be rehired by Fox because of this story. Essentially, and this was the ultimate scalp for the left when they got rid of Bill O'Reilly. I mean, he was the number one host, not just on news, you know, stations. On he was the number one show on all cable channels.
All cable news, yeah, all cable.
Everything. He had the number one show, period, on your cable lineup. So when they got him, that was huge, and that opened the door for getting rid of lots of other people. But as it turns out, most of the accusations that were against him were about 10 years old, and they were settled long ago, and he disputes them, whatever. You know, but the marketplace had plenty of time to decide. You know, viewers decided to forgive him for those.
Right.
And that was, you know, it was like 2005. I mean, so that was ancient history. But this more recent allegation was the reason Bill O'Reilly was ultimately fired. This woman, and this was something that Media Matters for America and other left-wing groups pushed. But essentially, this woman, whose name is Perquita Burgess, said that the host had made sexually suggestive comments to her, including calling her hot chocolate. And the story is at Newsmax, if you want to see it.
Right.
So it turns out Bill O'Reilly never met this woman, never seen her before. All she was a temp, as a clerical temp for a few weeks in 2008. The building, the Fox building, is huge. There are thousands of people working there. The likelihood that he ever saw her is practically zero.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, in 2015, Detroit police arrested her for making a false report of a crime. Very similar circumstances in Detroit. So her credibility is essentially zero. And this was the example. This was the situation that Fox used in justifying firing Bill, was the Burgess case. And it turns out that it's garbage, and it's all being pushed by the woman, Lisa Bloom, who's the daughter of Gloria Allred. I mean, the whole thing is the same characters every single time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same M.O. We're talking with Brian Maloney from MediaEqualizer.com, also Stop the Scalping on Facebook. Now, Brian, do you think this could be the new modus operandi, if you will? You get a big corporation, you get some of your operatives in there, they are hired as a temp, and then they make these outrageous allegations, and the company has to come along and fire people. I mean, my gosh, the fact that this woman worked at Fox for a short period of time, she was a temp, she was in the same building as Bill O'Reilly, so that gives it a little bit of credibility. Do you think we're going to see more of this?
Well, we will. It does give it a little bit of credibility just in that she worked there, but
right.
It was in 2008, it was for a few weeks. And, you know, I mean, if you've ever been in the building, I mean, you know, you work on one floor. You don't even have access to the other floors. Your elevator will only go to your floor with your card. You don't even interact with other people in that building. It's enormous. And if she's working as a temp, I mean, he is isolated. His office was in a corner on one floor. I've been in there and I've seen his whole layout. And I can tell you that I've been on Fox many times. And, you know, he was kept away from absolutely everyone. Nobody saw him except for a couple of his producers. He didn't come out of his office, and it was isolated from everyone else. So people were not interacting. You wouldn't see Bill. So, I mean, the whole story. So essentially, we are asking, we put out a press release, and we are saying, look, Fox should consider rehiring Bill because, you know, in light of this new information.
Do you think Bill would accept the offer? And
well,
how
I'm
huge
sure
would that be if he did? I think
it would be huge. Well, it would. And now, Fox has made a number of lineup changes this weekend. A lot of the changes are very encouraging. A lot of good moves have been made this week. So pretty happy about that. The bottom line is, if there's no longer room for Bill to do a full-time show or whatever, they can bring him back in one way or another. He can do specials. He can do, yeah, there are different things. He can come back in different ways, but they need to invite him back because they fired him for a reason that turned out to be bogus.
Absolutely bogus. And again, it's more the left trying to silence. And you know, I'm concerned. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'm never alone with a female in this building.
Absolutely. And you could be next. Anybody could be next. They're picking off conservative voices one after another. And I mean, even if you're not a talk show, if you're just on the internet, they have friends in Silicon Valley. They knock you off of Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and PayPal, and then you're wiped off the map. They're doing this across the country, across the board, to all of their enemies, and it's very dangerous.
Absolutely. Brian, you can check him out at Stop the Scalping on Facebook. And now, how long have you guys had that page up?
We started in late April, so okay. We're about 5 months into this, and we have 108,000 members. We're creating a fighting force to fight back against the left, and we're doing it there, and we're doing it at MediaEqualizer.com as well. So I hope your listeners will join us there. We need as many people as possible along for this fight.
Absolutely. Brian, I appreciate you being with us this morning. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Thank you. Brian Maloney from Media Equalizer and Stop the Scalping on Facebook.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It is about 10 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Let's head out to Matt and talk to him this morning. Matt, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. Happy Friday to you.
Yes, sir. I am glad it's here. Going to be a busy one, though.
And don't burn your fingers this afternoon or cut your...
I can't make any guarantees. No guarantees. Speaking of fingers, did you hear that Tony Orlando cut his finger off?
What, is he being like Picasso?
No, he was... I am going to prove my art. I'm going to cut my finger off. Apparently, some accident that Tony Orlando had with his garage door. And
I'm glad you brought that up because that's what my project is today, to fix the garage door. I have all my 10 digits.
When I was, I had a company come out to fix a garage door one time, and that's when I first heard somebody use the term degloving. Do you know what that means?
No, huh?
Cutting your whole hand off. And I was
no
like, and yes, degloving. The guy said, that's a good way to deglove yourself. And I was like, okay, that sounds sounds like you're the expert. You handle this.
You know, I actually, now that you bring that up, maybe I'll just call a company and have them come. Do you have an advertiser on WTMA?
Well, certainly, yeah, some of our sponsors would be glad to help you out. What's going on?
You had Vic Grawl on about 2 weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
About this Old Navy hospital and the lawsuit. Well, it was settled for $33 million.
Yes.
$33 million. And I just want to know who's in charge down there. Who's running? Who votes for these people?
It's unbelievable to me. I mean, they had it. They bought it for $2 million, sold it for $5 million, and then they agreed to lease the top three floors out for about 25 years or whatever it is. And then they pulled out of that deal, and now they've settled for $33 million. What? And why are we on the hook for that $33
million? It dumbfounds me. Everything that happens in North Charleston, remember they were going to build, first off, Noisette. They put a $60 million bond out there, and what did they get for that? They got a park.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was on free land. That was free
right.
land. And then they were going to do that, transportation hub with a train and all of that, and the buses and cabs and.
Yeah, what's going on with that? I mean, if they've started construction, right?
Yeah, and it's pretty much in the bowels of North Charleston.
Right.
Not a really good place to be, but certainly not at night. But they got this money, and then they started it, and then CSX came along and go, you can't put that there. That's a live line, which means it's a through line. But
right, yeah.
Keep going. So it's just... And then on top of this, Charlie, is what really bothers me, is the voters gave the County Council of Charleston another half-cent sales tax, and which makes our sales tax now basically the same as New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys can't – I don't know. I'm loss of words. I really wish you would help me out here.
I mean, it's, debacle, I would say that. I mean, we always think that these people that we elect to office are so much smarter than we are. That's why we vote for them. But they're really not. They're really not. And the vast majority of them are looking out for their own best interest.
They just want to be reelected. That's all they want.
Yeah. Yeah, and, either that or they're going to get some, or they or somebody they know is going to get some kind of a contract out of it. Look what's happening with some of these big contractors as far as, you know, our sales tax with the gas tax.
I heard that, but there's very few big contractors left is what you were saying. Right,
right? Because we haven't done enough work on our roads for the other guys to hang around.
Anyway, have a good weekend.
Matt.
Certainly do not deglove yourself.
No, I will do my best, buddy. Thank God.
It kind of makes me sick to my stomach.
I know. It's kind of wrenching. Matt, I appreciate you calling in this morning, buddy. Thank you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Yeah, I'll be doing a little cooking demonstration. I really have no idea what I'm doing this afternoon. They haven't given me any information. They just said basically show up and that's fine with me. You know, see what they got, see what I can do. Same day, last year I did what's called a chop challenge, where I actually went head to head with another chef who had a lot of experience, and we had to make basically the audience got to pick three ingredients, and I think it was chicken and something else, and then the other ingredient was black olives. What the hell do I know about black olives? I mean, you put them on a pizza. That's as far as my black olive experience goes. But we did the best we could with that. But I thought it was a pretty good dish. And I think applesauce or something like that. Apples. It was chicken, apples, and black olives. You make something out of that. Imagine going to the refrigerator and that's all you got there. I got chicken, I got apples, and I got black olives. Let's do that. But I think today I'm going to be doing something called an out-of-the-box challenge. It'd be basically like one of those food delivery services where they, you know, they have this... meal, and you can prepare it right there. So hopefully that's it. Hopefully it won't be anything too difficult. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Stephen Colbert of Charleston's Own Embarrassment talked about the Mueller investigation last night.
Special counsel Robert Mueller has been unearthing all sorts of dirt on the Trump.
Really? Has he? Is that, or are you just maybe bloviating there a little bit? Mr. Colbert.
Campaign ties to Russia and huge, huge Russia fans here tonight. And it just came out that Mueller requested documents from the White House related to 13 different areas in which investigators are seeking information, including some of the biggest stories since Trump took office. Classics like the Trump Tower meeting with Russian lawyer, Sally Yates warning the White House about Michael Flynn, the Oval Office meeting with the Russian ambassador, My House by Flo Rida, the firing of James Comey, Flynn's FBI interview, and literally anything having to do with Paul Manafort, and so much more. It's all collected here on Now That's What I Call Collusion, Volume 45.
There you go. So they're not giving up on the collusion story in this Mueller investigation. we'll see what happens with that over the weekend. I told you a minute ago that Tony Orlando got his finger cut off. That's
Ow! So I tied a bloody bandage round my severed tip.
Oh, yeah. It's the end of that song. Cut his finger off with the garage door. Oh, man. I couldn't even imagine that. That really, that makes your skin crawl right there. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Only got about a minute left in the old show today. Now, I want to see what the president is tweeting, because see if he's got anything interesting to say this morning. It's easy to bring up. Just add real Donald Trump. And it looks like, let's see, he says he'll be in Alabama tonight. Luther Strange has gained mightily since my endorsement, but it will be very close. He loves Alabama, and so do I. I got a friend of mine in Alabama saying Luther Strange is not really the Judge Roy Moore is going to be his pick with this one. President also tweeting, the greatest influence over our election was fake news media screaming for crooked Hillary. Next, she was a bad candidate. You're right about that. Went on to say the Russia hoax continues. Now it's ads on Facebook. We're hearing that that Zuckerberg is turning over all the list of ads that were placed on Facebook by foreign folks. He says, what about the totally biased and dishonest media coverage in favor of crooked Hillary? I agree with that. So we'll see what comes out of that today, I guess. I don't know what we'll find out. No telling where this Mueller investigation is going on.